Welcome to the Matt Matalon Report. I am Jerry Price. I am joined by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Matalon. And coach, welcome.
Hey, Jerry. Happy to be back this week.
So another good performance by your Princeton Tigers and another big game coming up this weekend. And looming beyond that is the Ivy League season, which is just going to be brutal for all seven teams. And so many things to talk about with your team. But let's start today by talking about Connor McCarthy. And Connor, 5 goals in the win over Hopkins last weekend, an 18-11 Princeton win. And really the first time in his career that he's basically 100% healthy. And he's got 10 goals in 4 games. He's playing with a ton of confidence. And I just remember back when he first came here and you were like, if he's healthy, he's an All-American level midfielder. And he's really gotten off to that kind of a start this year. And I don't like to throw comparisons around too much, but he's got a little bit of Kip Orban in him right now.
Yeah, I see the comparison with Kip. I mean, both those guys are big-time righty hammers. They can stretch a defense from the outside. We're really happy for Connor. You know, we're really happy for us as well in terms of how he's complementing that unit and that first line. But Connor has been a guy that we knew how talented he was throughout the recruiting process and early in his career on campus, and you said it. I mean, he got a little nicked up with injuries, and, you know, he's just been doing such a nice job of, you know, playing a simple role, you know, keeping his looks clean, simple, and then just kind of letting the game come to him. And he's capitalizing, so we're really happy. He had a hell of a game against Hopkins.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, his performance against Hopkins was by far the best of his career. And what really stood out watching him wasn't just the 5 goals. It was the confident manner in which he did everything he did on the field. He just looked like a senior who has been through a lot and who's taken full advantage of his senior year. And, you know, we talked last year about Emin Cordray, and obviously a different kind of player than Connor McCarthy. But, you know, Emin last year was a guy who really put it together for his senior year, and it looks like Connor's off to that kind of start as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a senior class that is on an absolute mission here. And these guys have put in the work and led our group from the second we stepped on campus this fall, and C-Mac, Connor was a big part of that. So, you know, his growth throughout the offseason and getting his body right and, you know, him putting in the extra hours in the weight room and the rehab, it's really paying off for him.
And then another senior that I wanted to talk about is somebody who I think is playing the best that he's played in his career, and he's played a ton. He started a lot of games, Armin Midgalchi on defense, and he seems to have found the right role, and he seems to be excelling.
Yeah, he's doing a great job for us. He's logged a ton of valuable minutes for us in his career, and we moved around from the 1, the 2, the 3. He's been an off-ball guy. He's been an on-ball guy. He's been in our zone packages, so he's really doing a nice job. He's just got so much experience down there that he's playing alongside George Bond and Ben Finley these first couple games, and he's just he's a very complimentary player for those two skill sets.
And when you look at him, he is not the same person he was earlier in his career.
He's a super physically fit kid. He's very in tune to his diet. He's a very disciplined kid.
I saw him the other day before the game against Hopkins on one of the days when it was warmer out, and he was just wearing a t-shirt, and he's filled out in a major way from what I remember, at least from the last couple of years, and it's really showing the way he's playing. He's always been a very good player. Obviously, he's been a starter since day one. He missed the first 2 games of his freshman year being hurt. Essentially has started mostly every game since. But he just looks physically different, and he's playing at a higher level.
Yeah, he's playing with a good confidence down there for us. Absolutely.
So, you know, Princeton, off to the 4-0 start, has moved into the top 6 in the national rankings, if you like the coaches' poll, 3 if you like the media poll. Pick the poll, and you can see where Princeton is. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about rankings because they don't really mean much. And it's, you know, what I thought in the beginning of the year was Princeton was unranked and not receiving votes. And I thought that's not a big deal at all because Princeton's going to have every opportunity to prove if it's a top 10 team, top 5 team, top 20 team, whatever kind of team it is. And the win over Virginia opened some eyes, and it put Princeton in position last week of having to do something it hasn't had to do in a while, and that's playing with success. You downplayed that last week when we spoke here, not so much downplayed it, but felt good about your team's mental state. And they went out and proved it against Hopkins. They trailed 1-0, never trailed again, built a good 3-4-goal lead and maintained that, and then pushed it away to a 7-goal win. And, you know, again, it was just a total team effort, top to bottom. So many different guys played well. In addition to, we mentioned Connor McCarthy and Armon, Eric Peters with a second straight big game and goal. You know, just overall, top to bottom, to be really happy with what you saw.
No, it was a great game. I think there was a turning point in the game, and forgive me for not, I don't have any stats in front of me, but I think we were up three, and then we ended up getting a one-minute
non-releasable penalty
locked in, and they gave up, and they closed the gap very quickly, and they scored two very good goals. And at that point, you know, that was a turning point in that game of how our team was going to respond. And, you know, it was a little adversity early in the game, and, you know, it's easy to play with a lead. You know, so when that gap closes, I think our guys just kind of put their heads down, played the same style of ball we've been playing, and tried to string together another 60-minute game. I think that, you know, outside of the lapse in the last 5 minutes, I think they played a good 55 minutes.
Yeah, there were some real subtle plays in that game that made a big difference as you guys took control. And you mentioned Finley, the freshman on defense. He had three where he won the race to the end line to get possession for you after missed shots. Those are little plays. You don't get a stat for them. And they make all the difference in the world in a game.
No, Coach Hirsch he's politicking to create that as a cause turnover stat, which he's not wrong, but it's a stolen possession. We talked to our defense about it. It's the easiest way to get a stop, is just being really savvy and work your tail off in between the lines. And if you have the opportunity to win an end line or get a jump on a ball where you see a shot coming where you're not in the play, try to take advantage of that. So Ben actually just kind of outran his guy three times. We were really fortunate to get those calls, but very, very crucial plays, two very early in the game.
And Bond with another great performance. He really locked down Cole Williams, who's been a player who's hurt Princeton and a lot of other teams in the past. And he continues to improve, and he's as good as anybody on defense in the country.
Yeah, George is great. He's, you know, we obviously love George. We love having him, you know, dressed in the orange and black every day. But he's got to cover on-ball guys, off-ball guys, physical guys, quick guys. He's got the number one matchup week in and week out, and he's doing a good job with it.
And Tyler Sandoval had a good game facing off, 10 for 19. He's 22 for 44 now through three games. Where is he in terms of one, healthiness, being, you know, close to game ready, or where he would be if he hadn't been hurt? And then two, what have you seen from him actually as a in terms of his play on the field? Had his first career assist, gave the pass to Luca Lazaretta for his first career goal.
That was a great goal. Well, Tyler's doing a great job. That whole face-off unit's doing a great job. They're very complimentary of one another. You know, we've got four different guys with essentially, we've got two guys that kind of operate in the same style and then two guys that play both different styles. So we've got, on that unit of four, we've got three different face-off styles, which is great. And that's kind of our bag of tricks that we hope we can be able to use, or, you know, at least tie guys up if we're not getting the advantage there. But Tyler came in and stepped in, and he's doing a good job for us, and we look for him to continue to grow and get a lot better. He's very young in his career and young experience wise, so we just got to keep helping him through the process.
And you have a lot of guys who are team guys who play so hard all the time, and really three that leap out: Jake Stevens, Bo Pettersson, and Luke Anderson.
Absolutely, and you can lump Sammy English in that crew as well. That's kind of our wing personnel and our top D-mid crew. Those guys, you know, D-mid is such a tough position in Division I lacrosse over these past couple of years, because they are attacked on ball, they're attacked off ball, they're attacked with picks, they're attacked in space. You are constantly being attacked, and then if you do get a stop, you're normally asked to clear it for your team. So you've got that added responsibility after a defensive stop. So it's just, those guys have been incredible for us. We're going to need to ride those guys all year, and hopefully they've got a lot of good lacrosse ahead of them.
And Vardaro had a great game. He had four goals and had some, he had the one play where he picked up the loose ball and he split a couple of defenders, and really a quick release to get it in the back of the goal. But his shot has improved. He's off to a great start.
It is. It's funny. We kind of see it every day. So we were happy to see it on game day. And it hadn't shown up. You know, Vardaro hasn't shown up all over the stat sheet in the first couple games. And he kind of plays like a grinder on that first line. He's very selfless. He moves the ball a lot. But he's just a really smart lacrosse player. So it was nice to see him capitalize on his opportunities.
I mean, between him, McCarthy, and Alex Lusher, you're getting a ton out of your first midfield group.
It's a great unit right now. Coach Mitchell's using those guys well.
And then you have the opportunity then to take a guy like Stevens, Jamie Atkinson, Will Kuznarek, move them to a second midfield. Even Tommy Barnes, freshman, came in. He had a goal against Hopkins. That was a big goal at a big moment of that game that really sort of started to push the lead a bit.
Yeah, there are a couple guys rotating in on that second line. You have Tommy Barnes, Will Kuznarek, Crimmins, Atkinson. Those guys are all kind of, you know, just kind of getting a feel, and Jake Stevens as well. And it's kind of a five-man line, and whoever happened to be playing well that week, you know, will kind of step up and get it done on game day.
So things change quickly in lacrosse, and they've changed for the better for your team. Your next opponent is Rutgers, who comes to Princeton Saturday, 1 o'clock faceoff. Rutgers started out the season ranked, won their first two games, and now they've lost three straight to fall out of the rankings. They're a team that is desperately looking to get to the NCAA tournament. They've been so close the last few years, knocking on the door. They have so many familiar names. Kieran Mullins is still there. The number eight.
Yep, Charlene Beattie's.
Is that how you pronounce it, Charlene Beattie's? Yep. You know, that kid is just, I mean, I feel so bad for that kid with the injuries he's had. Who knows what kind of player he might have been without the injuries, but he's still a great All-American
level
player.
Yeah, both those guys are future pros, absolutely.
And, you know, that they're coming here knowing a win turns their entire season around. It makes them a very dangerous opponent.
Yeah, this is a great team. I mean, Brian Brecht and his crew always do a good job. Coach Mitchell, our offensive coordinator, spent a long time there, both holding position as D coordinator and O coordinator, so he knows those guys well. But it's a heck of a crew. I mean, they've got as strong as an offensive unit as we've seen this year. And, you know, we're looking forward to an absolute battle. We expect just that.
And when you look at their stats, their scoring is spread out. They have, they don't have the one guy with 20 goals, but they have five or six guys with five, six, eight, nine goals each, and makes them tough to prepare for, I would guess.
No, this is a great team. They attack in all facets of the game. You know, they're a good defensive unit. They're a very good offensive unit. They're good in between the lines. So this is a heck of an opponent.
So after Rutgers, it's the Ivy League opener. The next three games after that, Ivy League games, home with Penn, and then on the road for Yale, on the road for Brown. It's a lot to look ahead to now, especially with Rutgers coming here. But given where the Ivy League is right now, have you thought at all about, you know, I mean, Dartmouth's unbeaten. Harvard's making progress. Brown is tough. Cornell might be better than anybody. You know, they won that game against Ohio State despite winning 7 out of 37 faceoffs. Obviously, Yale has been ranked number one. Penn is one-goal losses away from two of the, you know, you want to say four or five best teams in the country away from being number one. I mean, it's a league that is as stacked as it's as maybe ever been.
No, I mean, look, our head's down. You know, we're trying to take care of, we're trying to have the best practice we possibly can today and absolutely get better. But we're proud of the Ivy League. We're proud to be in it. You know, we're proud to see, I think in one of the polls, there were four Ivy League teams in the top 10. That's just remarkable. It's as strong as a league as it's ever been, as you said. And it's awesome. That's all you can ask for. You hope to have the strongest league in the country. And right now it looks like the Ivy League is.
It's going to be great once the league season starts. That's a week away. For this week, it's Rutgers coming here. It's the Maestrel Cup that goes to the winner. The home team has won the last 4 years, so two for Princeton here, two for Rutgers there. Anything to that, or is it, you know, doesn't seem like home field? It's not like you're walking into their 90,000 fans, or they're coming here with 90,000 fans. Is there a thing? And it's 20 minutes from here to there.
So. No, it's always a funky trip, you know, getting on the bus and loading up and then being such a short trip away. But no, this is an incredible game. This is an in-state game. This is a Big Ten opponent. This is a big-time opponent as well. And this is a heck of a team. So we're doing the best we can to prepare our guys to take advantage of this. If I can take the opportunity, our fan base for our Hopkins game, to see 1952 Stadium as packed as it was just remarkable. And it was a cold day. It was windy. It was snowing at times. Our fans were just remarkable. So thank you very much. That helped our team and helped our players so much.
And lastly, before we let you go, just talk about the head shaving thing.
Sure. So, you know, Luke Anderson, a sophomore in our team, I think he's got a buddy. And I don't, again, you can't quote, I guess I'm on the podcast here. But, you know, whether it came from Brown Lacrosse, I think he's got a buddy on Brown. And I know Mike Daly's done a lot of stuff like this in the past. And, you know, I know a couple club guys that have reached out that are near and dear to the Boston Children's Hospital had just said that there were some anonymous donors that were set up to essentially put forth $1,000 for every head shaved. So, you know, our guys, not mandated with our team, but I think we had, you know, 40 of 44 guys do it, which is great. It's just incredible. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome raising money for the cause. And, you know, it just made for great social media for your team. Saw some other teams. I believe Maryland did it as well. You know, so a lot of teams getting on board for a good cause. And
yeah, it helped our guys out a little bit, too. We got some good-looking head-shaved guys. Some it didn't help out.
Yeah, I mean, some of those guys had, you know, like Stebner do it.
Yeah. I don't know who was given haircuts. Some guys got some good ones, some not so good, but all for a great cause.
I mean, Jacob Stebner, I mean, his hair was down to like his shoulder.
Oh, no, he still got it. He did not cut his hair. He will still be representing the long hair, which we're behind him for that.
Yeah, but I saw Bo Pettersson, and he was one of the guys that got his hair, his head shaved.
Oh, yeah.
And when you see somebody who has their head shaved, this happened to me with the Yoshivas kid on the football and track team who was the outstanding field performer at the Heps. And I saw him in the lobby of JAD, and I'm like, I know that guy. Where do I know that guy from? Because he used to have hair like Stebner, and he got his head shaved. And it's the same thing with Bo Pettersson, because I saw him walking out to practice. I'm like, who is that? And then it took me a minute to realize he doesn't have any hair anymore.
No, it's funny. Some guys have it really short, too. It's a good look. And again, like, what a wonderful cause. And, you know, I tip my hat to our guys for being outstanding citizens and taking part in that. And it's just awesome. It warms your heart when you see stuff like that.
So it'll be Princeton-Rutgers, the 98th meeting for the Maestral Cup. It'll be on Sherrod Field, 1 o'clock faceoff on Saturday. Coach Madelon, good luck in that one. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back next week to talk about that game and then look ahead to the Ivy opener. And the Ivy League is just going to be brutal this year, just like the Big Ten. Rutgers can look ahead to that. For Princeton head coach Matt Madelon, Jerry Price, thanks for being with us each week. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.